This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the AIPIS show for accredited income property investment specialists and those who aspire to be. If you're a real estate, mortgage, or financial professional, this is the place for you. We'll explore innovative investment analysis, sales, marketing, and income-generating strategies for the most historically proven wealth creator, income property. Learn from the experts as they show you how to build a better business and a better life.
Welcome to the AIPIS show for accredited income property investment specialists and those who desire to be. This is your host, Jason Hartman, where we talk about increasing your income, your productivity, and just generally having a better life while serving your clients better with America's most historically proven asset class, income property. We have a great interview for you today, and we will be back with that in less than 60 seconds. It's my pleasure to welcome Amir Karangi to the show. He is founder and publisher of The Real Deal, producer of the PBS documentary Building Stories, and author of The Closing, interviews with New York City's titans of real estate. Amir, welcome. How are you?
Very well. Thank you for having me on your show.
It's good to have you on. So the titans of real estate, boy, a lot of people have dreamed about making it big in real estate. And of course, our listeners, we have many, many real estate investors listening. What can we learn from them? And maybe first, how did you become interested in this topic?
Well, you know, this interview, it's called The Closing Interview. It's in the back of the magazine. We have it, it's the last page of every issue that we put out. And we decided to sort of compile the best of the 100, the best of the interviews, the top 100, and compiling them into one book. And, I was fascinated with this because I always thought the interviews to be very revealing, and you don't normally see these people, these titans, talk about their personal lives and sort of the struggles that they've had to go through to get to where they are. And I thought it was inspiring and motivational, and you really do see a trend in that, you know, no matter who the person is, they have to go through the same hardships as we all do. You know, there is a loss of, some of them have lost their children to cancer or accidents. Some of them have lost their entire fortunes. But in the end, they manage to, you know, turn it around and, thrive regardless. And I always found that to be very inspiring. So I thought other people would find it, would find the same things in it. And I think that's the feedback we've gotten so far, is that a lot of people have learned a lot from the interviews that we have in here.
Fantastic. Well, give us some specific examples, if you would. Of course, everybody knows Donald Trump, especially, with his presidential campaign. But there are a lot of other real estate moguls. Tell us about some of them and how they and how they got from rags to riches.
Well, there were people who really swung for the fences, and in some cases they hit, and in some cases they didn't hit, but they always, persisted, and they kept going and going. And the one thing that you notice with all of these guys is that they live and breathe this stuff. And that's why they're really good at what they do, is because they wake up in the morning, thinking about their work. They go to sleep thinking about their work. And that those are the sort of attitude and behavior that really sets them apart from everybody else and allows them to reach the pinnacle of their industries, or their field. But in terms of examples, I mean, the book has every major real estate titan in New York, which is really to say in the country, is in this book. And it's amazing. People like Bruce Mosler, who's the chairman of Cushman & Wakefield, some of the stuff that he's learned, in that, he confides all of his business decisions with his wife, which is, something you don't really expect to hear. But, here's a guy who really confides into his wife regarding everything that, every decision that he makes, business and otherwise. I always thought that was very interesting. And then there are people who've had like real hardship, they had to deal with real loss, And you would think some of these people couldn't turn their lives around as a result of that. But, you know, these guys always manage to persist and thrive, you know, no matter what they've had to face. Even though it's hard, even though they, you know, they feel pain the same way anybody else would. But, you know, they've managed to persist and get through it somehow.
Do you profile at all their startup story? I think it's especially interesting, you know, to hear how these people went from, you know, nothing or maybe a middle class life to, you know, doing their first few deals and what was really the thing that got them in the game. Most people view it as probably easy once you're in the game to get bigger, right? But the starting phase is the hard part.
That's a fascinating thing about most of these guys. Most of them didn't inherit anything. They don't come from necessarily, like, you know, well-to-do families. They didn't go to Ivy League schools. You know, these are people who, for the most part, most of the interviews in the book, most of them bootstrapped it. And they, you know, they had a vision and they just aimed for that vision and they kept going and going. And no matter what obstacle came along, they, you know, they loved what they do. They really believed in the vision that they had and they really just kept going at it until they reached where they needed to reach. And that's what I found really the most inspiring, in that, you know, they're not necessarily from, you know, blue blood families or, they don't have the history or the money to create what they've created, but they've managed to thrive regardless. And I love that part the best.
Yeah, it really is. Any particular stories? How many have you profiled, by the way?
It's 100 interviews. We've profiled a lot more, but we picked the top 100.
To
put together. But I mean, we have everybody in here. We have Steve Ross, Steve Roth, Donald Trump, obviously, Barbara Corcoran, anybody who's well-to-do in the real estate world, they're in here for sure.
What stories stand out for you, and why?
I love the story of David Valentes. You know, he's a really down-to-earth guy. He went and struggled and put together $10 million in the 1980s, and he pretty much bought all of Dumbo, which is a neighborhood in Brooklyn. And now that same neighborhood, I mean, he's selling one condo in one building in the neighborhood for $32 million. And to think that he bought the entire neighborhood for like $10 million, it's amazing to see how real estate, you know, how it can increase in value. And there's no rhyme or reason to it, in that, you know, there's a piece of property and there's enough people wanting it, you know, the price just rises. I find that amazing. And also, like, his attitude about
Well, I would say, just to add to that before you finish, I would say that, you know, it's certainly probably pretty much impossible to debate that real estate, or especially income property, income producing real estate, is the most historically proven asset class in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you see with these guys, you know, we just interviewed Larry Silverstein, who's the developer of the World Trade Center. He bought the World Trade Center 2 weeks before September 11th. And now he's redeveloping that whole area. And, you know, we just interviewed him and we were like, what is the one advice you could give to people who are in real estate today? You know, because he's well into his 80s and the guy's one of the billionaires of New York City. And he said, the one advice I would give to people is that if they're lucky enough to own a piece of property in Manhattan, for them never to sell it. He said, the only mistake I've made in my career is that I've sold my properties. So he was like, and I thought that was very interesting. And it's sort of the same sentiment of Jacob Astor, who was really the first land baron of New York City, and who on his dying deathbed said, if I could do it all over again, I would never sell a single piece of property in New York City.
Do you want to tell us about, you know, your documentary and the, you know, the real deal and building stories? Give us a little more insight into that, not just the, you know, the people you profile. Those are great stories. I mean, everybody loves to hear about the Titans, but just more generally.
Sure. I mean, the book is called The Closing Interviews with New York City's Titans of Real Estate. It can be purchased on our website at therealdeal.com. or on Amazon. Just type in The Closing, it should come up. And the magazine, The Real Deal, is a magazine that I started 13 years ago. Actually, believe it or not, I started it in my apartment for the first year. And it just sort of grew from there. And now it's, so I don't like to use this term, but this is the term that everybody uses. we've become sort of the Bible of New York City real estate. And so we're also in South Florida and expanding into Los Angeles as well. But, you know, for us, real estate is a local phenomenon. So we don't believe in providing national news. We like to go into cities and provide, you know, do really detailed research.
I couldn't, by the way, let me just add on to your statement there. I couldn't agree more, Amir. You know, everybody, you see these talking heads on television, you know, writing in various media publications, and they're talking about the housing market as though it's some national thing. It's all local. There are 400 local markets in the United States. I mean, all real estate is local.
And the funny thing about those the national stats that the federal government puts out, the funny thing is that they have a plus or minus of 11%, which I find ridiculous because that plus or minus could totally change the game. I mean, even in New York, you have different neighborhoods that, like, from block to block, you know, prices and values and markets change. So to think that you could speak nationally on real estate, it just doesn't fair for us. But, you know,
I couldn't agree more.
As far as real estate news, we get more traffic to our site. We get about 105,000 people a day that come to our site just for New York City real estate news. And everybody in real estate, whether they're in finance or in real estate, you know, they really have to come to our site for the news and data that we provide. The movie that we made for PBS is called Building Stories, New York Through the Eyes of an Architect. It's the story of Kostas Kondylis, who actually designed more high-rises in New York City than any other architect in history. He actually designed 86 high-rises in Manhattan, which is quite remarkable. And the funny thing is that he's fairly unknown outside the developers who all use him. You know, to the public, he's very, you know, he's not very well known. People talk about Norman Foster and Jean Nouvel and people like that. But here's a guy who's probably designed more buildings than all of those guys put together. And that's something that we did with PBS. It still airs on PBS for the next 2 years. But, you know, I believe they posted it on YouTube and on PBS. You could watch it anytime you like.
Excellent. Excellent. So more about the documentary, anything there? Or getting back to Titans, I want to hear more about them too.
It's the documentary is fascinating in that you sort of see this guy's, it's about Kostas Kondylis, who's the architect. But we capture his life from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, you know, all the way to the present. And it's interesting because you're seeing the city change through his eyes. You know, we captured the boom of the 80s and the crash of the 90s or the late 80s and the comeback of all those years and how the boom of the odd years happened again. And it's interesting seeing the city change. You know, like it's a 1 hour movie, but you really get to see all these different eras in the city, which a lot of people find fascinating.
That is fascinating. You know, is there a common thread that these real estate moguls sort of grew up poor and not very educated? Would you say there's a commonality there?
Absolutely. Like I said, you know, it's very funny to me that most of these guys didn't inherit anything. It's funny to me that most of these guys had a vision and they went after it. You know, they didn't go out there saying, like, I'm going to one day, you know, get a yacht. That was in their thinking. Their thinking was like, I want to build this project. You know, I really want to get this done. Or, like, you know, I want to get my name on as many buildings as I possibly can. It was really about the deal and the development and the project itself. More than about, it was about money. It was about their love for what they did, more than it was about them, you know, thinking that they're going to be extremely wealthy. Wealth was a byproduct of their passion, but it's not what motivated them. What motivated them was to accomplish something, to accomplish what they set out to do. And that's one thing that you'll notice in all the interviews, you know, from beginning to end. It doesn't matter who they are. You know, these guys are all out there trying to accomplish something. And for the most part, they've already reached, another couple of million dollars is not going to make them any richer. It's not going to change their lives for anything. All of these guys in this book could retire tomorrow and their lifestyle would not change. But all of these guys, no matter how old they are, they're still active. They're still after the next deal. And let me tell you, they're not doing it for more money. They're doing it because they love what they do.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, there's something just wonderful about being able to create something. And when you look at real estate development, I mean, I think architecture is the the most important art form because it completely affects how we feel. I remember being in Cuba years ago. You would see these gorgeous buildings, and they were pre-1959, pre-Castro. And then you'd see these post-Castro communist buildings, and they just have no inspiration whatsoever. They're like concrete, gray slabs. You don't even need an architect, you know? So there's just no inspiration for the human soul. I'd say, you know, if I had to pick, tell me if you agree, I'd say architecture is the number one most important art form. Number two would be music. And number three is possibly fashion.
Yeah, I mean, well, with architecture, it's so amazing. I mean, I like how you say it's such an important art form because it's so tangible. But it's not only tangible in the sense that you could touch it, it's tangible in the sense that you could live in it, you know, and you could, it affects your thinking, it affects your day, you know, like to be in a space, you don't really think about it, you know, you the way that the light comes through the windows or the ways the way the walls divide the space, you're not thinking about that, but there's, you know, a lot of thought. I mean, if there's good architecture involved, there's a lot of thought that's gone into that so that you don't have to think about it, you just appreciate the space. And most people don't really put, you know, think about architecture, they just sort of live in it. But there, you know, there's a lot that goes into that living space, which I find beautiful.
Yeah, no question about it. So that's where the passion comes from, just, you know, from wanting to create something. Give out your website, if you would. It's therealdeal.com. Is that the site you want to give out?
Yes, therealdeal.com. There's a shop button. You could get the book there. And, of course, you get it on Amazon as well.
Yeah. And just before we close up, I'd like to ask you a little bit more about Donald Trump, since he's so flamboyant, you know, and maybe about his campaign. I mean, you've covered him extensively. What have you learned that maybe the listeners might not know about Trump?
Well, you know, in the movie that we did, he was a big part of it because Kostas Kandilis was also Donald's go-to architect. They did 18 buildings together. He designed 18 buildings for Trump. So Trump had a big part in the movie. And, you know, we spent a lot of time with him, and I've known him for quite a long time, in fact, since I started the magazine. And one thing that people don't realize about him is that one-on-one, he's one of the most charming and gracious people you'll ever meet. And it's amazing. And he'll sit there. He never forgets anything. He, to this day, when he sees me, he knows my mother is very important to me. So he, to this day, he asks about my mother by her first name. Which, you know, which is really touching, actually, you know, because, you know, he's a big, important guy. And for him to remember these small details, it really sets him apart. And and like I said, one-on-one, absolutely amazing. You know, he walks into a room and he commands he commands a lot of attention. And that's just by his presence, you know, not by him saying anything or doing anything. You know, he just walks into a room and, like, all eyes and attention goes to him. But, like, when you talk to the guy one-on-one, it's just, like, really charming guy, really nice guy. And, you know, he doesn't like to flash. Here's one thing he doesn't like to flash, because from what I'm told is that he doesn't want every charity hitting him up. But he's an extremely charitable guy. You know, like, the guy does tons of philanthropy for the city and for the state of New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. It's not how he comes off in public. You know, he seems kind of obnoxious, frankly. I mean, you know, pompous is probably the better word.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right about that. I mean, and that's the overall take, you know, of him. But yeah, I mean, he obviously knows what he's doing to some degree, because the guy has just been at the top for, like, so long. I mean, I know he's, like, he started out wealthy, but, I mean, he took $40 million and turned it into $4 billion. I think that says a lot. And the fact, the way that he raised his kids, you know, all three of his kids, super grounded, very nice kids. They're all involved in multiple charities, and they're all working. You know, they're not sitting back and, like, living off their family wealth. They're all working. They're all charitable. And I think that's a huge testament to the Donald himself.
Yeah, it really is. Well, Amir, thank you so much for sharing these insights with us. Very interesting.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and happy investing.
Thank you.
You know, sometimes I think of Jason Hartman as a walking encyclopedia on the subject of creating wealth.
Well, you're probably not far off from the truth, Penny, because Jason actually has a 3-book set on creating wealth that comes with 60 digital download audios.
Yes, Jason has that unique ability to make you understand investing the way it should be. It's a world where anything less than 26% annual return is disappointing.
I love how he actually shows us how we can be excited about these scary times and exploit the incredible opportunities this present economy has afforded us.
We can pick local markets untouched by the economic downturn, exploit packaged commodities investing, and achieve exceptional returns safely and securely.
I also like how he teaches you to protect the equity in your home before it disappears and how to outsource your debt obligations to the government.
And the entire set of advanced strategies for wealth creation is being offered at a savings of $94.
That's right. And to get your Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series, complete with over 60 hours of audio and three books, just go to jasonhartman.com/store.
If you want to be able to sit back and collect checks every month, just like a banker, Jason's Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series is for you. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.